Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again and greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Debbie and I want to thank you for being here with us today, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing. We'll bring glory to God. We'll edify you, and, well, just cause us to think. It's been good joining together around the Word of God and fellowshipping from the Scriptures and just rejoicing in the song that Debbie's got for us. Look, friend, I appreciate you. I love you more than I can tell you. You're such an important part of this radio ministry. Let me be honest with you. If you weren't listening, it wouldn't do me any good to be speaking, would it? I'm telling you, Paul said, look, I'm not white like one that just beateth the air. Now, radio ministry is a strange sort of ministry. I don't see anybody literally here in my study as I make this program. I've got the Word of God open before me, and I've got a note or two written down that I'm going to look at to remind me of what God has laid on my heart, but I don't see any faces literally. But oh, in my mind's eye, I do. But let me tell you the one I see more than anybody else. I see my Lord. See my Savior. See Him and what He has done for me, the work that He has accomplished, the salvation that He has provided, the grace that He has made available to me. And oh, look, that's enough. That's enough. I look forward to meeting you, though, sometime. I really do. It's always a joy to me when somebody comes by and says, hey, preacher, I listened to you on the radio. That makes my day. Well, I hope and pray that our time today is a blessing, and you will say amen to that. I've opened my Bible to the book of Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, Titus chapter 2. And I want to read some familiar scripture to Bible readers, and I'm going to take verse 12 as my text verse, and I'll share the message that God has laid on my heart. But before I do that, Deb's got a song that she's got queued up and tuned up and ready to go. It's one of my favorite. The title of it is Saved by His Grace. And friend, I'll tell you, if you're saved, that's the only way to be. It's not of works, but it is by grace through faith. I'll be back in a minute with the message.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame, that's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realized I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I'm saved by His grace. Saved.
say amen to that, won't you? Thank you, Debbie, for that beautiful, beautiful song. I like the message of it, and well, how wonderful it is to know that you and I, sinners, can be saved by grace. We can be changed. We can be changed by the power of God, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Oh, how wonderful that it is. And I'm going to tell you something, sir, ma'am. If you claim to know Jesus as your Savior, that's what this message is going to be about in large part. If you claim to know Christ as Savior and you've not experienced a change, friend, if you've not experienced the fact that you, if you're in Christ, you become a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then, man, if I were you, I'd be checking up on some things. I really would. That's what we're going to find out in this message today. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, going to begin reading verse 11. And I've preached down through this passage several times in the years that I've been in the ministry, but I have never preached this message like I'm going to do today. The Bible said in verse 11, and I want you to watch the past, present, and the future workings of grace. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now watch verse 12. Here's going to be our text verse, by the way. Here's going to be the message, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for, isn't that wonderful? That blessed hope, glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak, rebuke, and exhort with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And I hope nobody despises me after I preach this message. I don't have the power over that. But I'll tell you what, I do have the power. I've got the power to speak these things. And by the grace of God, as an ambassador of heaven, I plan to do just that. I want you to look at verse 12 again. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I want to talk to you today for just a little while. Don't have much time. I've got to invest it. Got to do my best with it. I want to talk to you about the teachings of grace. The teachings of grace. Hey, I could spend a lot of time about being thankful for grace and what grace is. Listen, friend, it's love and action. That's what I've heard. I mean to tell you, and I like that. I tell you, it's a good definition. But I want you to know, friend, listen, the grace of God does many things. It works wonders in our life. It does many, many gracious things. Now, when Paul sent this man by the name of Titus to this place known as Crete, Paul knew that there would be issues that he'd have to address. He knew the Cretans. He knew their stubbornness. He knew their will. He knew how fickle they were. He knew about their nature and their character. And may I say this, sir, ma'am, to you, whether it's on the island of Crete or where it's in the United States of America, whether it's in the state of West Virginia or in your own hometown, I want you to know mankind is the same. There is no new thing under the sun. And Paul told Titus, he said, you go there, son. You set some things in order. You establish things. You preach the truth. You instruct them and you tell them about what grace teaches. Hey, I want you to know, friend, problems existed in that place. Issues were known. And you know what it took? Had to get them straightened out. Thank God it took the Word of God. Listen to what Timothy said, or Paul said to Timothy. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He goes on into chapter 4 and says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Listen to this again. Reprove, rebuke, exhort while all long suffering and doctrine. Hey, I want to tell you today, friend, we need to look with understanding, with deep consideration at the teachings of grace. Now, I want you to know something. I'm concerned over a lot of misunderstandings that we see evident in our nation. Either they're understanding or it's pure ignorance of the Word of God. Or it's possible, friend, that it may be an abject, just unconcerned or lack of concern over what we see people doing or not doing. It's over the liberties and the lifestyles that the people who profess to know Christ as their Savior. Hey, I want to tell you something, friend. I'll probably repeat this more than one time. But if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Hey, when we're saved, he delivers us from the kingdom and power of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of light. And you know what? Listen, bless God, there's a change in you and I if we're really saved. We go from a dead in trespasses and sin to alive in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to know something, friend. God's Word isn't a spiritual buffet by which we can pick and choose from what we like or what we don't like. Do you know what? We're to realize, friend, we're to realize He put His will, He put His commands, He put His expectations in this book we call the Bible. Hey, I'm going to tell you, that's what I believe is part of the problem. A lot of people have abandoned the King James Bible. They've abandoned it for any other version that men wants to buy and to purchase and to choose to read and live by. Hey, it gives no authority, listen, except authority to man. But I'll tell you what I like about the King James book. How bless God, it says time and again, thus saith the Lord. Hey, listen, friend, God's put His will in this book. God's put His commands and not suggestions in this book, but He's put expectations therein. And oh, I'll tell you what He does. He expects me and you who claim to know Him, who claim to have a relationship with Him, how to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. He expects us to be holy because He is holy. He expects us to come out from among the world and to be a separated people. He expects us not to fashion ourselves according to the former lust. And I'll tell you, friend, listen, when we do that, we're better off for it. The world's better off for it. And God is glorified by it. Can I tell you something that G. Campbell Morgan said long, long ago? G. Campbell Morgan said that the church has done the world more of the most good when she's been least like the world. Jesus, when He was praying His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, when He was praying for His followers, for His apostles, and for you and I that name the name of Christ, He said, Father, listen, these are in the world. But He goes on down and says, but they are not of the world. I'm thankful for that. We say, preacher, what does grace teach us? Well, it teaches us many things. I'll not exhaust this. I'm just getting some things, friend, that I believe the Lord would have me to look at and share with you. But grace teaches us that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, that we're to set our minds and affections on things above and not on things upon the earth. It teaches us that we're to be Christ-like. Matter of fact, that's what the word Christian means. It means to be a little Christ, or it means to be Christ's life. That means we're to fashion our life like Him. We're to live like Him, walk like Him, talk like Him, think like Him, act like Him, desire the things that He desired. And you say, I don't know how that is. Well, get in your Bible. Start in the book of John. Go to the book of Matthew. Read the book of Luke and Mark. And I'm telling you, friend, you'll find something about this Jesus who is called the Christ, who was born to the Virgin Mary, who was without a doubt the only begotten Son of God. Hey, friend, listen, how grace teaches us a lot. It teaches us, listen, about our affections. It teaches us about our desires, our behavior. But all, listen, it teaches us that we're to be like Christ. It teaches us that we're set free from sin, and we're not to serve that thing called sin. So let's go back to our text verse. And let me break it down for you and for me, would you? I'll not get this preached today. Time will be gone before I get done. But listen to what Paul told Titus. He said, now listen, Titus, you teach them. You teach them what grace teaches. You see, teaching, friend, is educating. It means instruction. It means that it's instruction aided by chastisement. Let me say something to you, sir, ma'am. If you're saved, if you claim to have your sins under the blood, if you declare you've been sealed by the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you something. If you sin and you receive no chastisement, if you disobey God, if you don't obey Him and you receive no child training, I'm telling you, if you receive no conviction. Now, if you're saved, you won't receive condemnation. That's a thing of the past. But if you're saved, bless God, and you sin, you'll know it on the inside. You'll know it immediately. There will be chastisement. There'll be, bless God, a child training for you. Now, he said, teaching us. You know who that us is? He's not talking about lost men. He's not talking about men who are sons and daughters of Satan. He's talking about those who are children of God and those who are part of the family of Almighty God. Those who have been, by the working of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God, have birthed into the body of Christ. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about God's children, those professors, not just professors, but possessors of Christ who claim to be a Christian. He said, teaching us that denying. Listen now. Do you know there's some denying ourselves when we come to Christ? Hey, you know what denying means? It means refusing to obey or satisfy. And you say, what? Well, he's going to tell us what? Ungodly lust. We're to deny ourselves. Friend, listen. We're not to wallow in sin. We're not to keep with the same old lifestyle. Hey, I'm telling you, we've been set free by the grace of God from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And one day if we're saved, from the presence of sin. I'm going to tell you something, friend. As a child of the King, and I may say this again later, we may sin on occasion, and in reality, we do and will. But I'll tell you what, we'll never enjoy it. We'll know it. It'll leave a bad taste in our mouth. And if it doesn't, you better check up on yourself. Deny, that means to refuse to obey or to satisfy. That denying ungodliness. Now listen, we're living in an ungodly world. I mean to tell you, ungodliness is all around us. And you say, what is ungodliness, preacher? Well, it's wicked things. It's wicked behavior. It's choices of all sorts. When it comes to ungodliness, everything from lying to cheating to stealing to fornication to partaking of pornography or illicit sex out of wedlock. Hey, you want me to go on? How about addictions of any sort from a drug abuse or alcohol or gambling or anything? Hey, if you don't understand what it is, go to the book of Galatians, look in chapter 5, and you'll find a list there of things that are of the world. Beginning at verse 17, you read down through verse 21, and if that isn't enough, Paul said, and such like. He didn't exhaust the vocabulary of sin. He didn't exhaust what's all available in the world that Paul would call ungodliness. But I'm going to tell you, he added that little phrase, and such like. Ungodliness. Things, friend, that are wicked, and we know what wickedness is. He said ungodliness and worldly. You know what that is? That means things of the world. Listen to me and listen clearly. If you claim to claim Christ as your Savior, oh, you go to church on Sunday morning, the only time you do, but you live like the devil the rest of the week. You go where you used to go. You hang with the people you used to hang. You behave like you used to behave. You drink the same things. You smoke the same stuff. You speak the same foul language. You desire the same things that are unholy and ungodly. I'm telling you, friend, if I were you, hey, I'd check up on my profession. Hey, listen, he said, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You know what lusts are? They're forbidden desires. I'm talking about desires that are unlawful to fulfill just any old way. And he's talking specifically, probably, about sexual desires. Hey, listen, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. Now listen to this. That means have a life that's containing of the following things. You say, what are they? Soberly. You say, what is sober, preacher? I don't drink any liquor. I don't smoke any dope. But yeah, you may be the biggest fornicator in the world, sir. Ma'am, that means to be serious. That means to be earnest. That means to be temperate in all that we do and all we think. We're not only to be sober, but we're to be righteous. You say, what's that? Well, it means being right with God. Being right with God. Doing the things that please God. Doing the right things towards God and even man. Hey, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and watch this now, godly in this present world. You know what that means? That means God-honoring. That means we're to live in a manner that honors God and that would receive His approval. And He said we're to do it in this present world, in this life, in this time that we have on planet Earth, meaning here and now, and we're to do it continually. Hey, friend, as a believer of Christ Jesus, we're not to make grace a disgrace. We're not, according to 1 Peter 3:16, to use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. We're not to do what Peter said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 is it. I'm looking for it right now. Verses 14 and 15. And listen to what he said. He said, as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, meaning lifestyle, by the way, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And by the way, bless God, if you think that's an option to be holy, listen to what He said in Hebrews 12 and 14. He said, follow peace with all God and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, or that is God. Hey, I want to ask you something, friend. How's your lifestyle? How are you doing? Hey, I've got a whole nother message here. Maybe I'll preach it next week. I have no idea what the Lord will allow me to do. But if I'd give you all these scriptures, you know what? All the scripture that I would give you, I wouldn't exhaust what the Word of God says. Hey, I'd look in the book of Titus chapter 3 at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 7. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Peter 1 and 9. 1 Corinthians especially 9 through 11. 1 John 3, 3 through 6. Galatians 5:24. And those scriptures are not all. We consider them. We could consider them prayerfully. But I'll tell you what. They are to convince us who are in Christ that we're to be Christ-like. That if we say we're in Him, we are in reality. Like He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Let's be honest. If somebody claims to be a saved individual, somebody claims to be a saved Christian, and their lifestyle doesn't manifest any kind of change, then the only reasonable deduction that I can come up with, and you too, is that they must not have been changed, that they are not being truthful about who and what they are. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Grace is a marvelous thing, and maybe we don't don't hear enough about its teachings. But can I tell you what? For own good, we ought to look at it. Listen, Jesus said this, and I'll have to close on this, although I'm not done, my time's out. He said in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 22 through 24, "And not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." And then will I, Jesus, profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Hey, friend, look. Let's look at our lifestyle. Let's look at our heart's desire. Let's look at our verbiage. Let's look at where we go, how we behave. And let's work on our holiness, on our sanctification, on our separation from the world. Let's get in the Word of God to where it gets in to us and comes out of us. I mean to tell you, it just pours out of us. Let's get into it to such a degree that when people see us, they take note that we've been with Jesus. Hey, these are the teachings of grace and much more under the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.